participation in the worship and singing like this and the fine way that Gary leads us. We've decided that at least for a while on Sunday evening, we're going to try to sing more and preach less. And you don't have to smile too much, but we think we have some of the greatest singing here of anywhere. And part of the time, Gary may just lead us in several songs, first verses for a while. I don't know of anything that can help us to teach one another and praise God at the same time any more than our singing. I am so impressed with the new students that are here. I don't know how many of you have made comments, encouraging comments to us today, and we're just so grateful for the attitude that seems to be present and so thankful to have you with us. I want to take just a moment tonight to do something that I think is very important. You see me in the pulpit, you see Gary in the pulpit, but I want you to know two other men that work with us on the staff here. Kevin, would you stand where you are? Kevin Kane is one of our ministers here. You will be hearing Kevin preach some, and he works with our young people in other ways. And Ron Butterfield, would you stand? Ron is our educational director. Kevin is working with us full-time. Ron and Gary are with us part-time. If any of you are interested in teaching, see Ron Butterfield. He's good at using us and getting us involved. And I appreciate these men. And of course, their wives are important. They're sitting, each one of them sitting by his wife tonight. And just across the aisle from Kevin and Sheila is my wife, sitting right in front of Brother Sewell. And I want you to know her because she looks like she ought to be my daughter. And I'm the same age she is. I wanted you to know that. I needed to get that in. And then I'd like to ask our elders to stand where they are. I think 9 of the 10 are here. Would all of you elders stand? I want you students to see these men. Brother Larry McKenzie is in Nashville today, and he will be back. He's the one who keeps the watch on me and won't let me preach too long. But these 9 men, along with Brother Larry McKenzie, are our elders here, if you'd like to be seated. And they are so important to our work. There's almost no Sunday afternoon when they meet but that something is discussed about the university work. And at least once a year, Brother Sewell, and maybe at other times, our elders and I meet with Brother Sewell and the head of the Bible department, and we talk about ways that we can support each other. 2 distinct institutions here, the university and the church. We're distinct and different. But I'm so thankful for the attitude that we have, and I just wanted you to know our elders. Now, you'll see our elders open the services on Sunday morning. At 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock, they rotate, and all of them participate in that. And so every Sunday morning, the man who will be opening our services and telling us who's involved in the service and things like that will be one of our elders. And we want you to know them. The Bible says, know them that labor among you, and our elders are so important to us. Tonight, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. As I announced this morning, we're beginning a series of lessons tonight. I don't always preach in series, but I'm going to for 9 weeks, series that will run based upon this first chapter, the words that are in it. Beginning at verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love or charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now the next 7 Sunday evenings that I preach, Kevin will be preaching from time to time, at least once a month, and sometimes maybe more than that is needed. But the next 7 Sunday evenings that I preach, we will discuss virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. I'm convinced, folks, that if we can get those 7 Christian graces, as we call them, qualities of Christianity into our lives, it'll make us better people. But before we study those 7 lessons, and then a lesson that sums them up at the end, I want you to concentrate with me tonight on 4 words that are given there in verse 5. Add to your faith. Tonight's lesson is just about as simple as they get. And yet, in a sense, it is profound because we are dealing with some basic ideas that are so important to all of us, especially To those of you who are beginning your work at Freed Hardeman University, many of you away from home for the first time, many of you going into a section of your life that is so important, I'm convinced that this is a great subject for us to consider. Add to your faith. First, consider the word faith. There is no way that we can add to something unless we have something to which we can add. Now, I told you this was a simple lesson, didn't I? There is no way that we can add to something unless that something is there. We're going to be talking about growth. We're going to be talking about adding to, but we must have that foundation. No house can be built well without the right kind of foundation. We want to dig down into the earth. We want to sink the concrete. We want to put it down to where it is stationary, to where it will not move from side to side. We want to be grounded like the psalmist was talking about in Psalms chapter 1 when we apply this in a spiritual sense. We must have that foundation. And this passage says that that foundation is faith. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. We're built on the foundation of the holy apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2, verse 20. Christ himself, in that story that even you boys and girls will remember about the wise man and the foolish man, said that the difference in the outcome is the foundation. Everything else was alike in those two cases of the wise man and the foolish man except the foundation. The foundation was a rock in one case and the sand in the other. The rock stood, the sand did not. The right kind of foundation. We must have that kind of foundation if we're going to build our lives. In fact, Jesus knew that he had to have that kind of foundation to build the church. After hearing the confession of the Apostle Peter in Matthew 16, he said, upon this rock, he was using rock there in the sense of a foundation, upon this foundation of the fact that Peter had just confessed, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, upon this rock, this foundation, I'll build my church. And he said, even the gates of Hades cannot prevail against it. He built it on the right kind of foundation, and he becomes that foundation for us when we have the right kind of faith in him. Faith is one of the words that is so important. When that great chapter of 1 Corinthians 13 comes to an end, though it emphasizes love throughout it, remember that faith is right there along with it. Faith and hope and charity or love. Faith is defined in Hebrews 11, verse 1, as being the evidence of things not seen as well as the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence. The American Standard Version translates that it is the assurance of things hoped for, and it is the conviction of things not seen. You and I have not seen God, but we've seen evidence of him. We have not seen Christ, but we are convicted. And we have the assurance that he existed and that he exists and that he is that foundation upon which we can stand. That foundation of faith is the summation of forming a solid ground, something that will not shake. I don't know whether any of you are here tonight from the state of California, but I've listened as I've heard some of those folks describe being in some of those recent earthquakes. I read a book a few years ago that was written by Mrs. Lowell Thomas about the great earthquake in Alaska. And to hear people describe standing on ground that's supposed to be solid and then having it shake under your feet, and you really don't know whether it's going to part and open up and swallow you up, you know not what's going to happen, to hear them describe that makes me realize that it must be a terrible feeling. And if we had a foundation like that as far as religion is concerned and spiritual matters are concerned, wouldn't it be terrible? We have a foundation that is so set, a foundation where we can stand, and we're admonished to stand fast in the faith there in 1 Corinthians 16, 13, the same verse where we noticed this morning that he told us to be strong. Faith, that is that foundation that we must have. And God's word tells us that that faith comes by hearing the word of God. Being able to be present tonight and listen to singing and participate in singing like we've had and pray to God, and you may have noticed that even in our prayer, we mentioned that God would help us to grow in faith and to help each other to grow in faith. All of these are important. But if you and I do not study God's Word, especially on a personal basis, to where we fill our minds, our hearts with His Word, how are we going to have that faith that is the foundation of everything that we do? If we don't have that faith, nothing else matters very much. So when you consider these four words, add to your faith, the key word as we begin is that word faith. That gives us a foundation on which we can stand, and we know that God will be there, His Word will be there, that it is that rock that Jesus was discussing. Then I want you to notice two words together, and these are the two words, add to. Add to. If I were to ask each one of you tonight, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I'm persuaded that almost without exception, perhaps without exception, every one of us would say yes. In fact, if we went out on the streets of this town tomorrow, and we went down the street and from house to house, and ask people that question, I'm persuaded that maybe 99% of the people that live in this area would say, oh, I have faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. I believe that Christ exists. Well, if that's the case, that the majority of people, at least the ones that we know, believe that Jesus Christ existed as the Son of God on earth and exists today, and yet the Bible teaches us that only few will be saved, and we know the reality of many people who never go to services or never involved in the Lord's work, there must be more to it than just having a foundation of faith. How many of you would like to build a strong foundation for a house and then just quit? In fact, the Bible warns us about not counting the cost and just starting with a foundation and leaving it out there without any walls and any roof and any rooms. There's more to it than just that foundation of faith. Faith is that foundation where we start and on which we build our lives. And that's why we're going to be noticing in the next few weeks some of the things that have to be added to that faith to put up this spiritual building that is called the house of God as we look at ourselves collectively, and even a house of God as each one of us looks at himself as an individual. Think about what's said in the Bible about faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6, not only must we believe that he is, but that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Did you notice diligence in our text tonight? More to it than just the historical faith and just believing that God exists. There's something to be added to that. Over there in James, the second chapter, verse 14, 17, 20, 24 particularly, he points out that we're to show our faith by our works, and faith without works is dead. And if we say we have faith and do not serve God, we're just not telling the truth. You see, there's something to be added to our faith. And let me address myself particularly to those of you that are of the younger generation at this point. That's one of the things where we want to help you. Not that we have arrived. My faith needs to grow just like yours does. But as I see it and as I look at our work, one of the things that we want to do in our work of the church here at Henderson as we reach out to you is to help your faith to grow and to help you to add to your faith and to help you to be a better Christian tomorrow and the next day and next year and when you finish four or five or whatever it is years here at Fried Hardeman University. We want to help you to add to your faith. I like the way it's said in Galatians 5, 6, that it's a faith that worketh through love. You see, that's taking our faith and that's growing and that's adding to it. When you read that beloved chapter of Hebrews 11, you'll find that the faith that Abel had caused him to offer. The faith of Abraham led him to obey. The faith of Noah helped him prepare an ark. The faith of Moses helped him to make the right kind of choice. During the next few days, you won't even have to wait till next week. During the next few days, you'll be making some very important choices. You'll be deciding whether you go to Bible study or not. You'll decide whether to go to church on Wednesday night. You will decide whether to use some time reading God's Word. You will decide how much time you will use in prayer. You will be making some decisions before this seven-day week is over. Decisions that are very important to your life. And if they can be made from the standpoint of having that foundation of faith and then adding to that foundation to help us to obey God and to live for God, then our lives can be worthwhile. Faith is the foundation. But then we must add to it. And whether we were the age of our teenagers or our youngsters or the university students or those of us that are middle-aged and older age, doesn't make any difference. All of us need to be adding to looking at these qualities and how we can improve and put them into our lives more and let them help us be of service one to another. Add to the foundation of faith. But I guess if there is one word that I want to emphasize more than any other word in this little statement tonight, it's the word that we've not touched yet. And that's the word Y-O-U-R. Your faith. Not mine for you, not yours for me. Not inherited, but developed. I am convinced beyond a doubt that one of the reasons that some of our young folks grow up in Christian homes, leave home, and leave Christ is because they are living on the faith of dad and mother and grandparents and friends. And I'll tell you something, when those days come that are not so easy, when there are disappointments, and they'll come, and when you see the imperfections in your friends, and they're there, and when you fail to make the score on the test that you would like, or accomplish what you want at work, or have all things like you would like to have them at home, and there are going to be days like that, if you are living on somebody else's faith, you may very well feel that the props are knocked out from under you. But if it is your faith, there's not a force on this earth, including the devil himself, that can knock the props out from under you and a strong faith in God the Father and Jesus Christ his Son. Yes, in 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul said to Timothy, I see in you an unfeigned faith. That means pure faith. And yes, I realize, he says, I saw it in your mother Eunice and in your grandmother Lois, but he's not talking about an inherited faith. Notice he said, I see it in you, Timothy. Timothy had seen it in his grandmother and he'd seen it in his mother, and thank God for those parents. And I hope each one of you will. Not just in your mind, but with a telephone call or a letter. Thank God for those parents and grandparents who have instilled in us those proper thoughts and the teaching of God's Word to give us a foundation that is unshakable when we stand with God. But unless and until we develop that to where it is our own personal faith, we're going to have some problems. You see, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Father doesn't give account for the Son, or the Son for the Father. Oh, we have an influence on each other. But we stand before God as individuals, Ezekiel 18:20. Even in the judgment, as pictured in 2 Corinthians 5:10, God looks at each one of us. Revelation 20, verse 13 says the same thing. He looks at me. Oh, I'm so thankful for my dad and mother and what they've done for me and for my grandparents before them, all of whom were Christians. But if I don't have a personal faith to where whatever comes, I have my roots sunk in God in a personal way, I'm going to have problems. I'm thankful for a wife that stands beside me, for her faith, for children that are faithful to God. But if I don't have that personal faith to where it is mine, how can I add to it? And how can I meet the storms of life when the winds blow and the rains come down and the floods rise if I don't have that personal faith? I want you to get this point and I want you to remember it. Add to your faith. Don't let it be just inherited, but let it be developed by the contributions that have come from your parents and others that have been your teachers and others that love you, and by your own personal study of the Word of God. And then add to that faith. Let it grow and add these concepts to it. But be sure that you let it be your faith. And let me tell you something. If you have that kind of faith and it is yours, nobody will have to beg you to be a Christian. If you've not been baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, having repented and stated your belief in confession, if you have that faith that we're talking about and it is your faith and it is in your heart and your mind, nobody will have to push you or pull you. You'll want to rush to be a Christian. If you have that kind of faith, when you go astray and make a mistake, you'll be ready to repent publicly if necessary and make it right. That faith is the foundation. We can add to it, but it has to be yours. what is your faith tonight? And if you have not acted on it, come to Jesus as together we stand and sing.